from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. In this forum hour, in our first half, we'll discuss the coming out of Jason Collins of the National Basketball Association, the first male athlete in a major American team sport to declare his homosexuality. Then at 10:30, we meet Canadian screenwriter, director, and actress Sarah Polley, whose most recent film, part of this year's San Francisco International Film Festival, is an autobiographically drawn documentary titled Stories We Tell. It's receiving high praise throughout the world at the major film festivals. Forum is next. Join us for it after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to another hour of the Forum program. Messages of support have been pouring in for pro basketball player Jason Collins, who wrote in the new issue of Sports Illustrated, quote, "I'm a 34-year-old NBA center, I'm black, and I'm gay," end of quote. And that declaration makes him the first openly gay male athlete playing on an American Major League sports team. We want to talk about his decision and what impact it may have on sports at all levels. Joining us is Patrick Burke, who is co-founder of You Can Play, an LGBT sports advocacy nonprofit that works with pro sports teams to welcome gay players and fans. And he's also a scout, for the Philadelphia Flyers and joins us this morning from Boston. Welcome, Patrick Burke.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. Glad to have you with us. Also glad to have Franz Lids with us, who is senior writer with Sports Illustrated, who co-wrote with Jason Collins the coming out piece, which is in Sports Illustrated. Welcome, Franz Lids.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you as well. And Patrick Burke, let me actually begin with you, if I may. This has been called trailblazing, and in many respects, it certainly is. We had phone calls to Jason Collins from the President of the United States, also from former President Clinton. What does it really do to diminish homophobia in professional sports, which is still pretty rampant?
Well, I think, first of all, the biggest thing that it does is that it provides a concrete example and a human example of the issue that we're talking about. I think for years, what one of the biggest problems in sports has been is that, a lot of the athletic community is not exposed LGBT community. So when you talk to them about gay issues or about gay athletes specifically, they have oftentimes stereotypes in mind about what that means, what that looks like, what it would be like to have a gay teammate. Having Jason being out and open and having played on numerous teams, now there's a lot of teammates out there in the NBA who can say, oh, I've had a gay teammate before and Jason was a really good guy. It has nothing to do with his sexual orientation.
We also had Brittany Griner come out, a former Baylor star who plays in the Women's National Basketball Association. And as a writer in The Atlantic said, there was about as much flurry as there would be if a baseball manager gave his roster of that particular day. Why so much more with a male than a female, do you think?
I think there's a lot of issues that go into that, that interplay between homophobia and sexual issues for relating to gender, but I think at the end of the day, we cannot take anything away from Brittany Griner, from all the female athletes who have come before Jason Collins, who have been out and open in their sports, whether at the pro level, the Olympic level, the amateur level, whatever it might be. What it comes down to really is that the men's sports, the big four men's sports, are multi-billion dollar industries. Women's sports have not attained that level yet. I think that they will get there. But right now, the big dogs on campus are the four, NBA, MLB, NFL, and NHL.
Now, Garance Frank Ruta, who did that piece in The Atlantic that I mentioned, also said that girls are always considered kind of tomboys, and maybe there's just a difference in gender perception of women in sports perhaps being more likely somehow, Billie Jean Collins and so forth, to be lesbians. I don't know. Again, it's all speculation at this point. But
no, I think true to that. I think I've said it before publicly, and I think I'm quoted in that article actually saying it. There's kind of two stereotypes going on. One is that there are no gay male athletes. And the other is that every female athlete is a lesbian. So, whether it's on a college campus, a high school campus, or at the professional level, female athletes are often assumed to be gay, whereas male athletes are assumed not to be gay.
Again, Patrick Burke with us, co-founder of You Can Play, an LGBT sports advocacy nonprofit that works with pro sports teams to welcome gay players and fans. And Franz Lids is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated who co-wrote the piece that is in Sports Illustrated where Jason Collins comes out. And after the article appeared in Sports Illustrated, Jason Collins gave an exclusive interview to Good Morning America. Let's hear that.
I never set out to be the first, and it's... you're sort of waiting around for somebody else to, raise their hand, and I'm ready to raise my hand, but you still look around like, okay, come on, guys.
Franz Lids, he said in the article that the reason he came out had to do with, the lockout on the one hand, and he got distracted during that delay, but also Joe Kennedy, who young Massachusetts congressman who I just met recently, who apparently was his roommate at Stanford and had gone to a gay day parade.
Yeah, he said he's seldom jealous of people, but he got extremely envious of Joe Kennedy for being able, as a straight guy, to march in a gay pride parade, and at the same time, he was a closeted gay athlete who couldn't even cheer him on from the sidelines because he was afraid of being outed.
The sense of writing this article, I'm just wondering, you wanted to get his story, and right away he says, I'm black and I'm gay, because perhaps one could argue that there's that whole download phenomenon among blacks and black men, which makes it harder for them to come out. But I'm wondering, just from your perspective, how the story came about. That is to say, it's his story, but there also seems to be a lot of history embedded in that story that you as a writer, I presume, had more control over or not?
Well, I kind of can. It's a funny collaboration because, I had, his representative had come to me and asked me if I was interested in writing a story about a kind of closeted gay athlete in professional sports who wanted to come out. Would I be interested? And it was all hypothetical. I had no idea what sport it was, who the athlete was, and I said, sure. So, we sort of wrangled about the logistics. The athlete didn't want to come out until the season ended, and I was going to be on assignment in England. And so I wound up flying out to Los Angeles last Tuesday with my younger daughter, who went to Sarah Lawrence, Daisy, and she's extremely well-versed in gender politics and gender issues. So, and she basically was there to transcribe this four-hour interview because I hate hearing myself on tape and transcribing that. So we talked to him for 4 hours in his home, and he was very open and forthcoming and extremely articulate, and which I didn't necessarily expect because I had no idea who he was until last Tuesday. Wednesday, I wrote the piece and kind of batted around with Daisy, and then on Friday morning at 8 in the morning, drove out to his house, and his parents were there sitting at the kitchen table, and I was a little watchful of the whole situation because I didn't know what their reaction would be. And they didn't really want to read it, so I said, all right, Daisy, why don't you read it aloud? And she said, no, let's have Jason read it. So he did a cold reading of the story, and I got choked up more than half a dozen times, and would look over me and say, thank you for including that. And I was thinking at the time, I can't remember the last time an athlete actually thanked me for a story, but anyway. So he went through it, and it was this great dramatic reading, and I looked at he loved it, and the parents looked at him, and his mother just said, well, I've got to correction there. There's something that's really wrong. So I said, oh, what is that? And she said, well, you say he came out to his aunt, who is a judge in San Francisco.
Superior Court judge, said, yeah. Here, yeah.
Yeah. And I said, oh, what was wrong? And I said, well, she's a Superior Court judge. I said, oh, I can fix that.
Well, I'm glad you gave props to Daisy here. Actually, in the article, he said he gained confidence in himself as a gay man after coming out to his aunt, who is San Francisco Superior Court Judge Terry Jackson. And she, by the way, was the first African-American woman on the San Francisco Superior Court bench. And in a press conference just yesterday, she reflected on the family history that may have led her nephew to come out publicly.
I don't think Jason looked at his life as being a trailblazer, as more as something he had to do. And maybe I was a little bit of a role model, and my parents were somewhat of a role model. My sister and I, we were the first to integrate our elementary school. The last first that I've done is be the first woman, African-American woman, to be on the bench, and there have been a series of firsts. But it was not because we wanted to be a trailblazer. It's because it's right. It's because it has to be done. And if what Jason's doing, and I hope what he's doing, will open the door for many others, and I'm very proud of him.
That was Jason Collins' aunt, Terry Jackson, who is a San Francisco Superior Court judge. He is, we should mention, Patrick Burke, a free agent, and a guy who has an average scoring on the field, even though he's 7 feet tall and is certainly a center to be reckoned with, under 4 points. How does this affect the likelihood of getting picked up by another team and his free agency?
Well, I spent part of the day calling around to some of my friends in the NBA asking them that exact question because, you know, everyone is talking about Jason being the first active openly gay male athlete in professional team sports in North America. And my question was, is he still active? Like, is he ever going to suit up for another game? And the response that I got from people in the NBA that I trust is that they expect to see him on a team this year, that he's well-known for bringing veteran leadership, for bringing character, for being good with younger players. He may not be with a contending team. You know, if you're an NBA champion contender, you might not have room on your bench for him, but there are teams out there who can absolutely use Jason. So I think the nice thing is we know going in that his employment next season will not be based on his sexual orientation. The fact that after he came out, teams kept talking to me about his veteran leadership capabilities shows me that if he makes a team next year, if he's signed by a team next year, it's going to be because he can help that team.
Well, there is some there in the blogosphere. There's some cynicism about the fact that maybe his coming out will be used for publicity, and a team will want to draft him for that purpose. And there were even intimations that maybe he's trying to set himself up if he doesn't make a team for a potential lawsuit. I mean, that ugly stuff always kinds of surface.
Can I butt in here?
This is Franz Lynch.
Sure. First of all, there's no doubt that he's going to be picked up by another team. He's always been a low-scoring guy, and he's a bench player for the last 6 years. But he's a role player in that he can, you know, set screens, and he comes in to give six fouls, and he's this imposing figure on big man as a defender.
So, yeah, forgive me, Franz Lynch, but there was even in the piece you wrote with him reference to a guy he sent out on a stretcher. I think. Maybe,
right.
Again, trying to countervail these stereotypes of gays being weak. He said he wasn't proud of it, but he was trying to show he's a pretty aggressive player.
Yeah, and he's in excellent shape as opposed to another 34-year-old seven-footer that is comparable. So I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to hook up with another team. I think that's just sort of misleading.
Let me do this because we've only got about 10 minutes here, and I know listeners want to weigh in. In fact, I'd like to hear what you have to say about this. It is groundbreaking and it is trailblazing, and you may have some thoughts or questions or comments, and if so, please register them and join our conversation. Toll-free number, 866-733-6786. We welcome your calls, any questions or comments you might have on pro basketball player Jason Collins coming out. We want to hear them. Toll-free, you can join us now at 866-733-6786 or email us forum@kqed.org or post questions or comments right onto our website. kqed.org/forum and click on the segment, or go to our Facebook page or tweet us, our Twitter handle at @KQEDForum. And we asked on Facebook, is the importance of Jason Collins coming out being overemphasized? Amy writes, I was shocked to hear that he was the first active professional athlete to come out. I would have hoped that this would hardly be newsworthy, but now it does seem pretty significant. Christian says, I'm a 42-year-old gay guy from Argentina, and when I read his coming out story, it was 95% like mine, and I'm white, from Argentina, don't play sports, and came out 20 years ago. I think his story is still very relevant today. We still have homophobia, and his story goes beyond the U.S. borders. We know that here in Argentina, since Argentina passed full marriage equality, being the first in Latin America to do so, we've had major breakthroughs in the same directions in other countries in Latin America. And John writes, it's overemphasized because of sexism in the news media and the U.S. generally. Tennis star Martina Navratilova came out 32 years ago, but women athletes have always been valued much less than their male counterparts. And again, you may want to register your thoughts. We're talking with Patrick Burke, who is co-founder of You Can Play, an LGBT sports advocacy nonprofit that works with pro sports teams to welcome gay players and fans. He's also a scout for the Philadelphia Flyers. And Franz Lids with us by phone as well, who is senior writer for Sports Illustrated, who wrote the article with Jason Collins about coming out that appears in Sports Illustrated. Go right to your calls. And Marianne, you're first. Good morning.
Good morning. I would just like to say that I'm extremely proud and happy, and I would like to congratulate him, and I'm sure others will follow. And I say thank you, and I'm not a gay person. I'm a heterosexual.
Okay, Marianne, we thank you for the call. And Chris from San Jose writes, why does it matter? Where you put your privates should remain private. I do not understand why everyone must wear this on their sleeve and need to proclaim this issue to everyone. I don't announce my orientation to anyone, solicited or otherwise. What happens in the bedroom and relationships used to be private. Why can't we go back to that? How can you possibly discriminate against someone if you don't know or pry? You want to respond to that, Patrick Burke?
Yeah, the idea that Jason shouldn't be able to bring his boyfriend or husband or partner or whatever to a team event, the idea that he should feel in fear of talking to his teammates about, you know, where he was last night, the idea that at the high school, collegiate, or professional level, that male, female, you know, anyone in the LGBT community should ever feel like they can't talk about going out with somebody, that they can't talk about loving somebody, that they can't bring their partner to the annual Christmas party, whatever it might be. This isn't someone stepping up and making a sideshow of his sexual orientation. This is someone saying that this is how he is. This is his life, and he gets to talk about it. So people who are criticizing this as, oh, you're just making a spectacle of it, well, I can say that as an activist, you know, not as a member of the LGBT community, but as an activist, I very much look forward to the day when a story like Jason's is not newsworthy, when we're not doing about it.
Let me get another call.
Can we get to that point?
I'm sorry, you're fading out. We're going to try to get a better connection. I want to get another caller on here. Matt, join us. Hi.
Hi. I'm just wondering why this is an issue when we have athletes who, you know, get into sex scandals and everything else, and now this is shouldn't be an issue. It should just be a normal thing. Obviously, we live in an area where it is, but the rest of the country hopefully will wake up.
What do you say to that, Franz Lids?
Well, I think that sports is, you know, it's that last bastion of so-called maleness, and there's tremendous fear among these athletes who think they've never been exposed to gay people, of gay people. And you've had professional sports for 140 years, and this is no one has ever come out. That's what makes this so profound, that people have been afraid of coming out for more than a century. And here's a guy who's willing to, you know, reveal himself, who's been closeted for 33 years. He's so closeted that he only last summer came out to his twin brother. So you know how this has been festering and inside him, and what a relief it must have been to finally be able to tell people.
His twin brother, we should mention, is not gay, interestingly
right.
enough. Yeah. And let me thank the caller and get another caller on here, and that's Dan. Good morning.
Are you just like saying Stan?
Dan. Is it Dan?
Yes, Stan. How's it going?
Oh, Stan, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Not a problem. My sentiment and all my friends' reaction seems to be, so what? What are we talking? Why are we talking about this? And my God, why does it require the president to make a comment? I understand that it is a big deal, and I salute this man for being who he is and in open, and because of all the great things that's going to do for him. I'm not sure it should be a national discussion, and I think that what it is we're on the cusp here between that this is no big deal and this used to be a big deal. And so I think you're going to have people in both camps saying, you know, the opposite about whether or not this should be talked about at all.
Well, thank you for the call. We are getting that. In fact, we're getting feedback just along those lines. Of course, here in the Bay Area, there is perhaps not as big an issue as there is in other parts of the country. By the way, we should mention that Jason Collins wore the number 98 in honor, I believe. Is that not true, Franz Linz, of Matthew Shepard, who died in 1998?
Right.
He was killed in a homophobic incident. Yeah.
Right, the Laramie Project. And, you know, he's a University of Wyoming student who was kidnapped, tortured, lashed to a prairie fence and left for 17 hours. And when he was found, finally, he died 5 days later. And also, he wore 98 in tribute to the Trevor Project, which is an organization to help struggling youth struggling with their sexuality and, you know, suicidal teens. So because he hadn't come out yet, he couldn't tell anybody why on two different teams he was wearing 98. I mean, that's another thing you can't, you know, this, can I say that this whole thing of people saying this is no big deal, you know, why can't we move on? There's a lot of bigotry in this world and in this country, and especially among professional athletes. And,
actually, it's not only bigotry. I just want to mention the fact that Chris Broussard, this has become a national issue. Chris Broussard, who's a sportscaster for ESPN, said that he, Jason Collins, is an open rebellion of God because Jason Collins is and has professed his strong belief in Christianity. So you've got that kind of tension here as well.
But you know, if nothing else, this is showing kids, teenagers, whoever, that it's acceptable to come out and be yourself. And that in itself is a huge deal. When people try to diminish this, they're just kidding themselves.
Well, I think we're going to let it stand there, and I want to extend thanks to both Franz Linz, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, who co-wrote the piece with Jason Collins about coming out in Sports Illustrated, and Patrick Burke, who is co-founder of You Can Play, an LGBT sports advocacy nonprofit that works with pro sports teams to welcome gay players and fans. He's also a scout for the Philadelphia Flyers. And by the way, you can add your comments to this discussion by simply going onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and continue the discussion there or on our Facebook page. And we are going to shift gears, actually. Sarah Polley is going to be joining us in the bottom half of this hour. A long-running joke in her family that, her father wasn't her father, and she went out to investigate that and discovered, I suppose, what we can broadly call family secrets. She'll be joining us in studio right after the break. Stay with us. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.